It's Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Anybody need them? Today we are playing a clip of a sermon excerpt, Gird Your Loins, ministered by LJ Renee at Joshua Christian Ministries in Dayton, Ohio. The word is gird your loins. Ready yourself for action. May you be blessed by what you hear.
Now, Lord, I thank you for the worship and praise that's gone on in this place. It was you. It was not us. Oh, God. You move in us, dear Father, to bless the people because you want the people to know that you're still here and that you are still in control and there's no one bigger and badder than you. And so we thank you. Lord, would you bless this word that you had given me, dear Father, a shout and urgency, Father. And I pray that, God, that the people will hear and sense it as well, God, in the name of Jesus. And if there's anything in our lives that are out of order, dear Father, that will cause us to fall by the hand of the enemy if we're not careful, please put your finger on it, dear Father, that we, God, may be able to war, God, that we will be a good soldier, dear Father, that we're not meddling in the affairs of the world, but God, that we're standing on the line of truth, dear Father. Your word says, Lord, I heard in the spirit, you said, line up. Line up, as they would say in the military. It's time to line up. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that, Lord, that this word will go forth in power and in might. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me, he says, begin to start praying in tongues in your private tongue, in your private time. Now, you have to understand the purposes of tongues. The tongues basically is the spirit of the Lord praying in you, praying, calling deep unto deep. The spirit of the Lord is moving in you, praying. And it says that the spirit of the Lord will give you, as you speak in tongues, he will give you wisdom and he will speak mysteries unto you. So there is a purpose and there is purpose for speaking in tongues. And so I began to start speaking in tongues, and halfway through it, I heard in my spirit, the Lord said, gird up your loins. He said, gird your loins. This is what he said. And then afterwards, I saw where, when you all have already heard, it's been the talk of the town, and that's the Supreme Court ruling. And that has been such a mourning and a sorrowfulness in the nation. And the Bible says that when the righteous rule, the people will rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people will mourn. I saw a mourning in this nation like I've never seen before. But God is telling you and telling me to gird up your loins, for there is something coming that you know not of. He said, but if you gird up your loins, he said, you'll be prepared for it. If you think about the people in the military that, you know, when the battle, when they give you an instructions to go, you don't stop right there and say, where are we going? You don't say, I'm not ready. No, you have been prepared for this battle. And God wants you to know that you've been prepared for this battle. But if you have not been prepared, he said, now is the time that you better begin to get in your word and know what truth is. He said, because there is something upon this earth. He had told me some time ago last year, and I blew the trumpet and said that the Lord, the spirit of the Lord had spoken to me and says, pray against this spirit that comes to destabilize and dismantle this country. There is an effort to destabilize and dismantle this country. And so in it, God is saying, you all need to wake up. The body of Christ need to wake up. You've been complacent too long. And what is actually happening, if you realize it, that everything is being redefined. You know, you can look at redefine means that they're moving boundaries, or they're extending boundaries, and they're redefining what is right and what is wrong. You know, nowadays you're seeing that now the things that God calls right, the people are calling wrong, and the things that God call wrong, the people are calling right. It is a blatant disrespect for the supremacy and authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have been complicit in this whole thing. We have laid asleep. And, you know, there's been a talk in many congregations that that Christians are not supposed to be involved in civil duties. You're not supposed to be involved in politics. But don't you know, if you're not involved in politics, who will be involved in politics? The natural course of things is this. If there's a vacuum there, something's going to fill it. Now, now we have to decide if it's going to be filled with good or it's going to be filled with evil. We have backed up and allowed the enemy to take territory that was given to us by God. And so he's saying now to rise and waken. Now, the purpose for the redefinition of things, you know, there's a redefining of marriage. Now it used to be. Now it always is, because God defined it as marriage is between one man and one woman. But now they're redefining what gender is. There's no longer. Matter of fact, they'll start taking it out of the books. There's no longer will they want you to say he or she when you're referring to something. They want everything to be gender neutral. But we're setting back, and we're just saying, we're naming and saying that's hideous. But what are we doing in order to stand? God says, gird up your loins. I'm talking about what the Bible says, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits, against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high place. Those are the things that we are fighting against, but they operate through people. In Daniel, it talked about the king, and it says that there will be a king that will defy, or they will talk about against the Most High God. And it says that he will even change laws, and he will even change times. And that's what we're seeing today. What's happening is they want to remove God out the equation, and they want man to be the authority. Now, let me tell you what gird your loins mean. It says gird is to prepare oneself for something requiring a readiness or strength or endurance. Prepare oneself for action to increase one's mobility in battle. That's gird up your loins, girding up. I'm ready. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to move. And some of us have too many things on us that we need to shed that and gird up our loins. And loins mean it's a part of a body between the hip and the lower rib, and is regarded as the strength and generative power. It is the reproductive system, basically. But listen, I'm going to demonstrate to you as much as I can what girding up means, because you got to understand what God is saying when it says gird your loins. Now, in the Old Testament times, men wore, they didn't wear pants like you have now, but they wore long robes. And whenever, if you read in Jeremiah and you read with the prophet Nahum, and he would tell them, gird your loins, because you got to take this. Our core values, we have released them to the world. We have put down the core values, and we have picked up the values of the world. We have been integrating ourselves with the society of the world. We've been doing the things that the world is doing. We say the world is having more fun, so we're going to go out and we're going to do that. We are beginning to read the word of God. We're beginning to pray, calling all night prayer services. We don't do intercessory prayer like we should. Our walk is not upright before the Lord. So when the world looks at us, they can't tell if we are the world or we're the children of God. We have been lax in our way with God. We have allowed things to happen in our lives and in the body of Christ that there's no way that it should have happened. But because we have been lax, because we have lost our strength, we have lost. I'm going to say had lost, because I believe right now what I'm sensing is a sound that is coming, that is awakening the body of Christ. And if, you know, God knows what's going on. If he allowed this thing to happen, don't you know he's still in control? This thing was done illegally. But listen, God knew what was coming down the line. Listen, if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, which was just a little city, How much more would he judge the United States of America when we are a nation of people? It just won't, we won't get away with this, that we will be judged. But the church has to be the one that will stand up and say no more. The church has to be the one that's going to stand up and walk upright before the Lord. The church has to be the one that's going to speak the word. What is our core? He just read it. Our core is this truth. Our core is this righteousness. Do you know if we don't have truth and righteousness that we're not able to stand? Do you know what righteousness does for us? Righteousness gives us the authority to stand before our enemies and battle and fight. Righteousness gives us an entrance into the Lord Jesus Christ and give our ask God what we want. Righteousness allows us to come before the throne of God and allow God to hear our voice and allow God to hear our cry because we are righteous. Righteousness is our defense. That's the reason why you have the breastplate of righteousness on in the front is because righteousness is our defense. The next core value that we have is also having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's another core value, peace. Another one is that on our heads, we have the helmet of salvation, a core value, a helmet of salvation. Our thoughts are right. We know that we've been saved. We know who our God is. We know that he is our defender. We know that we think good thoughts and right thoughts, and we know the right way to go, and we won't follow another. We know what righteousness is. Hallelujah. Then he says also another core value is that we have the shield of faith. The faith, the shield of faith. Faith is a core value. Faith is a core value. Faith is what causes when the enemy shoots his darts. Faith is the shield of faith is what we can hold up. And we say, that's not what the word of God says. And it says it is written, and it deflects the fiery darts of the enemy. And then he says, in the other hand, the core value is a sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Those are the core values in which we use and in which we stand. When you go to a company and you look in their personnel manual, you can go in there and think you can do whatever you want to, but when it's time, they'll say, listen, in the personnel policy, it says you only get one vacation. In the personnel policy, it says that you are under this person. In the personnel policy, it says you have this benefit. Everything is within, in the personnel policy, is that's where how the business operates. So you can go in and do what you want to, but when it comes, when the rubber hits the road, they're going back to that personnel policy. And the Bible is the same thing with us. They're redefining the church. And we, if we're not careful, we would allow them to do just that. But God said, not so. You are mine and I am yours. Those core values are used for the battlefield. You can't find an enemy that you can't define. So we go into things half-heartedly. We go into it with the wrong equipment because we really don't know who our enemy is. We stand and we're getting beat up upside our heads because we don't realize that this is the enemy that's doing this thing. We have found ourselves linking hands and arms with our enemy. We have found that even on this battlefield that we're standing, if we're not careful, defenseless. But we are on a battlefield. Is a battlefield is an area of contention. A battlefield is an area of conflict, and it's a hostile opposition. The battlefield is over territory, and we're standing right now on the battlefield. They know that something is wrong, but they don't know how to fight. And so God says, we're on the battlefield right now. But let me tell you how God, or what God said the enemy is. See, this is the thing about it, is that you can't fight, as I said, in a war if you don't know who the enemy is. And God showed me what was getting ready to happen upon this earth and the enemy that we will be fighting. But these are the three enemies that the Lord told me. It was the spirit of confusion, the spirit of perversion, and the spirit of error. Those are the three enemies that we're fighting. If you take an inventory of what's going on in the earth today, you'll see it right now. It's the spirit of confusion, the spirit of perversion, and the spirit of error. Confusion means it's disorder. It means that there's a lack of clearness and distinction. You all heard that song, is crazy, but the song that says blurred lines. I know you all heard it. Well, blurred lines is that you can't tell where one began and where one end. You can't tell what is right and what is wrong. And that is the intent of the enemy. You don't know where the line of righteousness is and where the line of unrighteousness is. And this is a terrible state when we can't tell you what is righteousness, when we can't walk out righteousness, and we are confused as to what righteousness is. But there are blurred lines. And so there's a scripture in James 3:16 that says, so for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. The Bible is telling you right now that whenever you see strife and jealousy, wherever you see confusion, know that there's every evil and wicked work that is operating in the midst. When you are at home and there's an argument going on and there's strife and jealousy there, know that in your home there is an evil and wicked spirit that is in operation in your home. The other one is called perversion. It means a change to what is unnatural or abnormal. And you know right now in our laws, they're declaring marriage to be unnatural and abnormal. They're declaring the marriage between a man and a woman is unnatural and is not normal. And we know. I was sitting one day with a young lady and she was talking about this incident with, and this is before they passed the law. She was talking about little boys being gay and she was saying there must be something to this. She said because when they're little, they start acting feminine. And she said, I'm beginning to believe that they are right. This is her conversation. And I went on to tell her how that is wrong thinking, basically. I just start telling her different things, challenging her thinking. That is the thing that's running through even the body of Christ. The people are confused. And when the world tells them that this is good, that this is not abnormal, this is just another part of life, the church and people in the church are beginning to think and meditate upon that, and to the point where now they're saying, you know what, there must be something to this thing. This must be all right. It's also okay to have my son dress as a girl and my daughter dress as a man. It must be all right. There's something to this. So therefore that I will accept this. And God is saying, you got to know the truth. You got to know the truth. And because it is sometimes it appears to be right. It appears that what they're saying is right. And it appears that people's mindset are changing. But God is saying, listen, don't go for the appearance. He's saying, you got to know the truth. He said, because there's coming a time, like even with Moses, when he went to see Pharaoh and when he threw down his rod and things began to happen, the people of Pharaoh, the sorcerers, they threw down their rod and things begin to happen. You got to know what is the truth of God, and you got to know what is of God, because if you don't, you will be bamboozled and led astray and led amok. You have to know, and you have to know the truth. Listen, the perversion means not only that, but, you know, when we say perversion, we're always taught, we think it's always sexual perversion, but perversion is not always sexual. Perversion is rejecting God. Perversion is looking at something that's good and calling it bad. Perversion is setting up and saying God ain't going to do anything. Or there is no such thing as a God. That's a perverted spirit. And we're seeing it operate in the world today. They're saying, where is your God? He's not alive. You're serving the wrong God anyway. And we are setting up here and allowing them to speak this thing in our ear when God says you are the salt of the earth, when God says you are the head and not the tail, you are above and not beneath. And we are allowing them to tell us and define us and say who we should serve. That's perversion, the spirit of error. is a belief in something that is untrue. It's a condition of believing what is not true. It is a moral offense. It's wrongdoing and it is sin. Error, the spirit of error. And the Bible says that you will know the truth. It says you can know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How? He said, because those who know my voice is of the truth. So if you hear God's voice and you know God's voice, you know good and doggone well that that is God that's speaking. If you cannot hear God, then you need to go before him and begin to pray and ask God to cause me to hear your voice, because we are at a crucial time in our lives that we cannot afford to not hear God's voice. We cannot afford not to hear God's voice, because if we're going to gird up our loins and move, we have to know the truth of God. We have to know it. And so we're having a spirit of error. The Bible says, do not be tossed to and fro and running after every doctrine that there is, you know, under the slights and the deceits of men. And what he's saying is this: there is a doctrine. A doctrine is a teaching. And whenever someone tells you what Muhammad says or what Buddha says, or when they begin to start teaching things in college and about philosophies and about evolutions and about other things that God did not say, that is a doctrine. That's the reason why you got to be careful about these young men right here, what they're learning in school, because now there's a doctrine that's being taught that there's no such thing as God. There's no such thing as a gender distinction. There's no such thing. And so that's a doctrine that's being taught and being spewed out in the land. And he said, be careful of it, because you will begin to follow it because it sounds good. And really what it is to pull you away from God. He said, be careful of what you hear. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't sit up there and let somebody tell you that Jesus Christ is not Lord, that Jesus Christ is just a man. He's not a prophet. Don't let somebody sit up there and tell you that Jesus Christ is not divine. Don't let somebody tell you that the Bible is not true. Don't let nobody tell you that the Bible is contradictory. Don't let nobody tell you that men have a feminine side and women have a masculine side and it's time to bring them together. Don't let nobody give you that trash. Don't let nobody sit up there and tell you that you are something that you're not. Don't let nobody tell you that you are something that you're not. Don't let nobody tell you that God can't heal. Oh, my God. My Lord, he is great and he is greatly to be praised. But let me tell you this. The latter part of that scripture is called truth. He says, gird your loins with truth. In the Greek word, it says aletheia, which means to unhide or hide nothing. The truth is so powerful that it will uncover. And in the Hebrew, it means emeth. It means firm, constant, consistency, and duration. Let me tell you what truth is not. Truth is not relative. It's, you know, if you believe it, it's true. Truth, they say, depends upon the culture. Truth is whatever you believe in and whatever you think, that's truth. And we're seeing it happening in the world today. What's going on with the same-sex marriage and other things. They're saying this is a truth. They're saying that genetically that there is such thing as a gay gene. Truth is not determined by what you say and what you think. That's not truth. So we have to know what truth is and what truth isn't. Truth is not determined by majority vote. You remember when we were growing up, they used to say, if everybody else jump off the bridge, you going to jump off the bridge too? Or your mother would tell you, I don't care what they're doing, but you're not going to do it. Truth is not determined by the majority of the people. Truth is determined by God. And so therefore, truth is consistent. Truth is firm and truth is durable. God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. In his word, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. I am the truth. There was a time, even in Jesus' day, when they tried to crucify the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. They tried to crucify the truth. But even though he hung up on the cross, and even though he died upon the cross, and even though they buried him, what did truth do? truth rose up out of the grave. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So even though they try to cover up the truth and put it down, know this, that it will rise. And it will rise through us. Because God's word is not a lie. It has no error in it. Whatever God says, that's exactly what he would do. That's the reason why he said, gird your loins with truth. Because if you have truth, you're able to run. If you have truth, you're able to stand. If you have truth, you're able to know what's right and what's wrong. If you have truth, can't nobody turn you around or turn you back. But if you're standing on shaky ground, that which you know is not going to save you. It's only the truth that will save you. That's only the truth that would allow you to stand. Now, why is truth important? Truth is important. Because in these days, and we've already heard them, there are false prophets and false teachers. They're here. They've been here. But now they have been emboldened to rise up and to speak. So he said, that's the reason why you need to know truth. You need to know what the word says. So that when they begin to speak something, you'll know that they're speaking a lie. And that you're not drawn away by their doctrine. You gotta know truth. False prophets, false teachers. Don't you know that there are pastors that have access to the White House? There are pastors that have been going up to the White House and sitting in the midst of the authorities there. And they are telling them how to think instead of the pastors telling them, no, we can't go along with this. This comes against our truth. It's expecting us that wherever we go, that we speak truth, and we have to be able to stand strong. And the last reason why we have to believe in the truth is because life has consequences for being wrong. Life has consequences for being wrong. You can sit up there and do what you want to do if you want to do it, but there's a consequence that will follow it. There's nothing that we do that there is not a consequence for. If we do wrong things, there's a consequence for that. And if we do right things, there's a consequence for that. But it's important for us to know the truth today, because when we don't follow the truth, there is consequences. We as a nation are being judged, and we have not seen the severity of it. We haven't seen the intensity of it yet. And the Bible says that if you don't believe, he says, you will fall. He said even the righteous would fall if they didn't trust in him. So we have to be able to stand upon the truth of God. We have to gird our loins with truth. And the Bible says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And it says to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says to put on our head the helmet of salvation. And in our hands to have on the shield of faith. And in our right hand having the sword of the Spirit. And those are our core values. And that's what's going to keep us right now in this day and time. He said, gird up your loins. He said, get ready. Because there's something coming that you've got to be able to stand. And listen, it's not always going to be a bad thing, although it's going to be intensified. But like we were singing today, it's going to be a good thing. Because I believe that because of these things that are happening, the Church of Jesus Christ is rising up. And they're beginning to fight back. And it's not going to be easy. But the Bible says we win. We praise you today. We honor you and we worship you, for you're God and you're God all by yourself. Father, I pray that God, the word that has gone forth this day, that Father God, let not the enemy pluck it out of their heart. Cause them, dear Father, today, dear Father, to know that we got to gird our loins and get ready to fight. In the name of Jesus, we know that we don't fight with flesh and blood, God. We don't fight flesh and blood, but we fight the spirits, dear Father, that are coming against you, God. We know that they're not coming against us, but they're coming against you, Father. But you've given us, dear Father, the weapons of our warfare to stand. And so, Father God, we gird our loins in preparation for that which is to happen. Father, I'm mindful, dear Father, that even Jeremiah to go gird up his loins, because he had a message to send to Israel, to the body of Christ. And Father, there are some in this place right now that you're speaking to, God, that you're going to send them to places, dear Father, that they thought that they never would.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, I need.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.